May the Lord help us to worship him at our thanksgiving services today. Let us commence with the first hymn on the hymn sheet. Come, ye thankful people, come. Raise the song of harvest home. All is safely gathered in ere the winter storms begin. God our Maker doth provide for our wants to be supplied. Come to God's own temple, come. Raise the song of harvest home. The first hymn.
Thank you. reading from God's holy word this afternoon you'll find in the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, and we'll read chapters 3 and 4. Ecclesiastes chapters 3 and 4. To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, and a time to die. A time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, and a time to lose. A time to keep, and a time to cast away. A time to rend, and a time to sow. A time to keep silence, and a time to speak. A time to love, and a time to hate. A time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboureth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labour. It is the gift of God. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be for ever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past. And moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked. For there is a time there for every purpose and for every work. I said in mine heart concerning the estate of the sons of men, that God might manifest them, and that they might see that they themselves are beasts. For that which befalleth the sons of men befalleth beasts. Even one thing befalleth them. As the one dieth, so dieth the other. Yea, they have all one breath, so that a man hath no preeminence above a beast, for all is vanity. All go unto one place, all are of the dust, and all turn to dust again. Who knoweth the spirit of man that goeth upward, and the spirit of the beast that goeth downward to the earth? Wherefore, I perceive that there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall be after him? So I returned and considered all the oppressions that are done under the sun. And behold, the tears of such as were oppressed, and they had no comforter. And on the side of their oppressors there was power, but they had no comforter. Wherefore, I praise the dead which are already dead, more than the living which are yet alive. Yea, better is he than both they which hath not yet been, who hath not seen the evil work that is done under the sun. Again, I considered all travail and every right work, that for this a man is envied of his neighbour. This is also vanity and vexation of spirit. The fool foldeth his hands together and eateth his own flesh. Better is an handful with quietness than both the hands full with travail and vexation of spirit. Then I returned, and I saw vanity under the sun. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he hath neither child nor brother, yet is there no end of all his labour. Neither is his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he, for whom do I labour and bereave my soul of good? This is also vanity. Yea, it is a sore travail. Two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labour. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. And a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Better is a poor and a wise child than an old and foolish king, who will no more be admonished. For out of prison he cometh to reign, whereas also he that is born in his kingdom becometh poor. I considered all the living which walk under the sun, with the second child that shall stand up in his stead. There is no end of all the people, even of all that have been before them. They also that come after shall not rejoice in him. Surely this also is vanity and vexation of spirit. Leave the reading of God's holy word there, and may he help each one of us now to truly pray. Oh, most holy and merciful Lord God, we come now before thee, the start of these thanksgiving services. And Lord, help us to gather together with that true heart of thanksgiving, to be filled with awe, to be brought to that state of humility, so that as we come before thee to worship this day, we may be able to worship thee in spirit and in truth, so that there will be more than just an outward husk to our religion, but that there may be something done deep within. For Lord, we know, we read that thou art a holy God that abhors sin. Yet help us to see and ever have it before us that thou art a holy God, and who we are as poor sinners. Yet enable one and another, indeed all, to see that they can come boldly this afternoon unto thee through the merits of thy dear Son. For Lord, we thank thee for outward things. We thank thee for thy never-ending mercies supplied to us. But Lord, may there be above all that thankfulness within our hearts for thy dear Son, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. O Lord, as we gather together now, we know there will be some that are strangers. Lord, if that be the case, work mightily, we pray, so that one and another may be able to see who they are and see who thou art. Lord, we know there are those that gather here today who know and love thee and yet long to love and praise thee more, to more of thy beauty's trace and thy majesty adore. So we pray that they too, through our worship today, may be strengthened, may be fed, may be nourished to carry on in this life. For Lord, we have seen another harvest gathered this year, but there will be that time when thou wilt harvest each and every one of us. And Lord, may it be a question for us all. Where will we be on that day? Lord, will we be gathered in unto thee? Or will we be gathered and burned and thrown out? Lord, work, we pray, in our day in which we live, so that truly there may be a bountiful harvest of never dying souls. For Lord, we know that there is those ears in this place, but may we see that bountiful supply of wheat within the ears. May it be the prayer of us all that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And may it be thy will, Lord, that we will grow. Oh, that we may indeed truly know thee. For Lord, we stumble through this life, but Lord, may we know that thou art leading us still. And Lord, today, help us to lead thy people through our worship. But without the power and unction of thy Holy Spirit, Lord, we will gather in vain. For Lord, we cannot make the people listen. We cannot give them those ears to hear. We cannot prepare their hearts. We cannot remove those distracting thoughts. We cannot give ourselves those words to lay before them. So Lord, we pray that above all, we will know thy power with us today. May we not be worshippers in vain, but Lord, truly come with power. Another year has gone, Lord, of our lives, and these services have come round again, and thou knowest everything that has taken place in the lives of everyone here in the past year. Lord, wherever we are, whatever we have been, can we not say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us? And Lord, where thou hast begun that work, Lord, can we not say, we are not what we want to be, but we are not what we once were. So, Lord, we give thanks that a remnant remains in this place. We give thanks that thou hast sustained them through another year of time. We give thanks that they have been fed from the preached word and been able to honour and glorify thee in their worship through this time. But Lord, we beseech thee that thou wilt still work more mightily in this place. Lord, may there yet be those that are added to the church. May there yet be those that are brought in from this village and added to the congregation. And those that are here in the church and in the congregation may be truly learning of thee. Oh Lord, we pray for them each. We pray for the deacons here in their many duties and cares and concerns for the people here. And Lord, may we know and see what we know there is, that true fruit of the Spirit, that love and that joy and that peace between them all. And Lord, may there be that desire more and more to serve thee in our day and in our age. Lord, we would pray for those who were here last year, who are not here, who may be unwell, who may have had to, do not have the strength to come out. Remember one in the Bethesda home, do be with her. And others in affliction, Lord, we pray for them all. We give thanks too for the babies that have been added to the congregation in that time as well. And Lord, what an encouragement it is to see another generation being born into this place. Lord, we pray for the babies, the children, the young people, and all age groups here, that they may truly be a united people, young and old. Lord, we would pray for the children and young people, especially in the day in which their lot is cast. Help them in education, whether it be at home or at school. Help them in their needs as they may go from school to college to employment. Pray for them that thou wilt supply all their needs, but above all, that they may seek their Creator in the days of their youth. That the fear of the Lord may be implanted within them. That they may not despise coming to chapel. But that through the preached word, through our worship, they may say, this is the Lord. That they may say, God be merciful to me, a sinner. That they may cry, Lord, help me. And so that as they grow, they may be pillars to come in this place. So Lord, those in the midst of life, we pray for parents here as they seek to bring up their children. Give much wisdom. Pray for those in married life, whatever their situation may be, and whatever thou hast given them in this life, Lord, or seen fit not to give them. Lord, may each be given submission to thy will. Lord, may each in their day and age know what it is to be near thy side. For Lord, thou dost move in mysterious ways in each and every life. Lord, thou dost work in ways that we can never fathom. But Lord, whatever we are called to walk in, Lord, we pray for that submissive spirit. That we pray, Lord, for an acceptance to thy will in our lives and pathway. Whatever thou wilt give or take, Lord, may we see and look with those eternal eyes to that which is to come and see this life for what it is, vanity of vanities. All is vanity. So, Lord, as we come together now, Lord, help us as we sing thy praises. And those hymns that we sing together, Lord, may they truly be the words of our heart. May they truly chime, Lord, with what we feel within. May they be an expression, Lord, of our innermost desires. And Lord, we would pray for the hard hearts to be broken, Lord, that are in this place, if there are any tonight, this afternoon, Lord, we pray that thou wilt come with thy great power and renew a right spirit within them. For Lord, we know that death is upon the road for all of us, and we do not know how long that road will be. So may we truly be prepared for that great day. Lord, we have those reminders of the brevity of life. We have those reminders of one another being taken, whether in young age or in old. And so, Lord, may it be that we are ready. Lord, we try to push these thoughts to the back of our mind. But may we be a prepared people, going to a prepared place. Lord, may we be, have that sweet hope that it is well with us and will be well when called to die. Lord, we come with that true confession this afternoon. A year since we last came in this time. How could we possibly number the multitude of sins that have been added to our account in this past year? How can we possibly number all our wrongdoings of this another day? Lord, may it be our cry. Have mercy, Lord, we pray. Show us, Lord, that Christ Jesus is the friend of sinners. Show us and comfort us that if we confess our sins, thou art faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And cause us, Lord, to find peace, perfect peace in this dark world of sin, to know the blood of Jesus, which whispers peace within. O Lord, if there is one in soul trouble here today, may they go out with peace. Lord, may they indeed. We give thanks for all those who have willingly provided for the tea this afternoon. Do bless those labours, we pray. May we not take it for granted. When there are so many millions in this world who have so little, and we have so much, Lord, may we truly be humbled at what we have in this land. And Lord, we would remember at this time how many there are living in great fear of warfare and of destruction. Lord, we pray, may there yet be peace in the Middle East where there is conflict at this time. Lord, we would pray that thou wilt crush thine enemies. Lord, we would pray that the suffering may be relieved of affliction. But that, Lord, thy hand may be seen mightily in that region. Lord, overthrow those that seek to do such wickedness and bring peace, if it be thy will. But, Lord, we know there is much warfare. There has been, Lord, throughout the centuries. But, Lord, may we know and they know the one true and living God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. For Lord, this is life eternal, and cause many to ponder not this life, but eternity. So as we gather round thy word together this afternoon, we pray it will be a word in season for one and another today. Lord, we know not how everyone has come up this afternoon. We know not the prayers that may have gone up. Lord, may there have been prayer that has gone up. And if it be thy will, hear and answer it. Lord, so that today thou wilt have all the honour and glory, and that we may be a true people of thanksgiving. Lord, we cannot do it in and of ourselves. So we pray in the lines of that hymn, "Come, Holy Spirit, come. Let thy bright beams arise and dispel the darkness from our minds and open all our eyes." So help us, Lord, we pray. The people need it. Give them those ears to hear. Lord, I need it. Give me every word to speak, so that today the words spoken may fall upon that prepared ground, fall upon those prepared hearts, and bring forth fruit at thine appointed time. So, Lord, help us all as we gather together. Lord, but above all, gather with us. Forgive all that I have asked amiss. Make up in giving where I do fail in asking. We ask all for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Let us now sing the second hymn on the hymn sheet. There is a day, 'tis hastening on, when Zion's God shall purge his floor. His own elect shall then be known, for he shall count those jewels o'er. The second hymn.
need the Lord to help each one of us gathered here this afternoon, both in the preaching and the hearing of the word. I'll ask you to turn with me to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, and particularly verse 14. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 14. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. This book of Ecclesiastes is a very interesting and instructive book for us all. Here was the great man Solomon, towards the end of his life, a man that had amassed great wealth, a man who had sought great wisdom, a man who had indeed tried to satisfy himself with many, many things, but a man that at the end of his life had to say about all worldly things, "Vanity of vanities," saith the preacher, "vanity of vanities, all is vanity." Or we could say, "All is as a vapor. Everything is seemingly empty." But in this book of Ecclesiastes, he sets before us many points, but three points which stand out throughout this book. Life is brief. We see that, chapter 1, verse 4, "One generation passeth away, and another generation cometh, but the earth abideth forever." Our generation are here in this building this afternoon. Another generation will come if the Lord spares the earth, and we will pass away. But the earth abideth forever. Life is brief. Whether young or old, we must ever remember that. Life is brief. The second point that he emphasizes throughout this book is this. Not only is life brief, but our life is spent in a fallen world. Time and again he expounds, doesn't he, on the wickedness of the earth. The chapter we read together, verse 16, "Moreover, I saw under the sun the place of judgment, that wickedness was there, and the place of righteousness, that iniquity was there. I said in mine heart, God shall judge the righteous and the wicked, for there is a time there for every purpose and for every work." But you say, isn't this supposed to be a Thanksgiving service? And all you've spoken about so far is the brevity of life, the fact that we live in a fallen world. And if all we focus on in this life is the brevity of our life and the fallen world that we live in, then there will be no joy or happiness. But we read in this chapter that joy is possible. We read in this book that joy is possible. What do we read? In verses 12 and 13 of chapter 3. "I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labour. It is the gift of God." the focus, dear friends, of our lives should be not on the gifts or the lack of gifts, not on the length of our life or the brevity of our life, but if our focus, by God's grace, is upon the giver of those gifts and his sovereign right to remove those gifts when he sees fit, then, and only then, can there be true rejoicing, true submission, true happiness. The Apostle Paul says, doesn't he, rejoice always. And again I say, rejoice. The only way that is possible is when we are given faith to look away from what we have, to look to who has given it. So as the Lord may help us together this afternoon to look particularly at this verse, but really the theme that runs through this book, to consider firstly the nature of man, our nature, why we can have no faith in ourselves. Then to look at the nature and works of God that we see in this 14th verse. And then finally, to understand the motive of God's works in the latter part of this verse. God doeth it that men should fear before him. So firstly, this afternoon, our nature. This first verse, to everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. There have been births in this congregation in the past year. There is a time to be born. But there will also be a time to die. We in this land are living in a time of peace, but there could well be a time of war. You may be living today in a weeping, mourning state. But that time may well come where there'll be a time of joy and laughter. Do you see where we are? We are up, we are down. We are up and we are down. That's our nature. Because sin is in this world. And we are a fallen people and are surrounded by fallen people. And if anybody knew it, didn't the psalmist David know it? What did he say, Psalm 41, verse 9? Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. Do you know that? You can have the utmost trust in someone. The utmost hope in an expectation that you believe will come to pass. But you can't guarantee it will come to pass. Because the nature of man is changeable. A man is not in control of his own destiny. Another psalm, Psalm 54, where David was in trouble again. Save me, O God, by thy name. Judge me by thy strength. Hear my prayer, O God. Give ear to the words of my mouth. For strangers are risen up against me, and oppressors seek after my soul. They have not set God before them. Are strangers risen up against you? Oppressors seeking after your soul? But what have you got to look to? Just the stranger, just the oppressor, just the situation you're in? Or can you say with David, behold, God is mine helper. The Lord is with them that uphold my soul. Can you say and trust that yes, although you cannot see why you're in this place and situation, this trial, this temptation, whether inward or outward, the Lord has brought it. We are living in a changeable, imperfect world. But, dear friends, you may indeed think that you can trust your nearest and dearest, and they could make a promise to you tonight. Next week, I will do this for you. Next year, we will do this together. And it is right that we make certain plans. It is right that we look to the future. But you know what we always have to say, don't we? If what? If the Lord will. If the Lord will, we shall do this or that. And I could say something this afternoon. I could make a promise, but I should always end it or preface it with that. If the Lord will. Because you can't trust me. I may not be here tomorrow, but we know there'll be one that will be here. Our God. And may we look at this 14th verse. The nature of man is changeable, but what about the nature and works of God? I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. There is, my friends, no shadow of turning with him. He is immutably the same. That's what that lovely hymn 939 says, isn't it? Jesus, immutably the same, thou true and living vine. Around thy all-supporting stem, my feeble arms I twine. I can do nothing without thee. My strength is wholly thine. Withered and barren should I be, if severed from the vine. Oh, what a truth that is. Jesus, immutably the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. There is no change in him. No change at all. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. All this first part of this verse could be interpreted really in this way. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it has been ordered from eternity past. Every event in your life is ordered. Whatever he gives and whatever he takes away. Whatever trial comes, whatever trial is removed, it's all been ordered. Whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. It has been ordered from eternity. Nothing can change it. But can you say, dear friends, this afternoon, that whatever he has done in your life is perfect? That's the hard thing, isn't it? To understand that the Lord has ordered it. If we are one of his people, for our eternal good. To know that his will, his thoughts are far above our thoughts. Because we look on today and yesterday and expect for tomorrow. But if we are spared, the Lord has ordered next year, next decade, till our final day on this earth. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Because he has got that perfect knowledge. And that's where Job was brought to, wasn't it? After all his trials. And when Job then put those questions to the Lord, God's reply, wasn't it? Dost thou know the balancings of the clouds? the wondrous works of him which is perfect in knowledge. This is the nature of God. He is perfect in his knowledge this afternoon. He is all-knowing. He is all-seeing. The wondrous works of him. And the work that you may be in, the situation that you are in, it is because of his perfect knowledge. We can't change God's mind. It's all ordered. But you may say, and rightly say it, and this would be a whole separate sermon itself. Well, do we not have those examples in the Bible where so-and-so prayed and God changed his mind? Yes, we have those examples of where someone prayed and God changed his mind, but ordered from eternity past was the fact that someone would pray and then that he would alter his path. Because that is what the Lord wants from his people. He wants a people to worship him. He wants a people to seek his face. He wants a people to bring him that honour and glory. Dear friends, but don't think that we can add to God's perfect knowledge by telling him something about our situation. He knows. He knows it all. And he knows the outcome of it. But what he loves to know and loves to see is his people what? Worshipping him. Bowing before him and really saying through their prayers, Lord, I don't know. But I trust that thou knowest. Therefore I fall before thy majesty. I am a sinful man, O Lord, but thou art almighty God. Thou hast perfect knowledge, and I fall before thy will. That's the nature of our God. He is perfect in that knowledge. And he is perfect in his way that he will work. Psalm 18 has that lovely verse in it, doesn't it? As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a buckler to all those that trust in him. His way is perfect for you. His way is ordered. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. So the nature of God. But what about the works of God? You know, I was encouraged when we opened with that, when we had sung that second hymn. There is a day, 'tis hastening on, when Zion's God shall purge his floor. His own elect shall then be known, for he shall count those jewels all. For it had been on my mind to consider the perfect work of God in the election of his people. And my thoughts went yesterday to that account in Matthew, where one is taken and the other is left. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. God has chosen a people for himself, to be his own, to worship him. We have that, I don't want to touch too much on this, but that chapter on election in Romans 9, don't we? I'll have mercy on whom I'll have mercy. I'll have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. The perfect work of his choosing a people for himself. We may question it. We may see, how can that be fair? We say, well, what if I am not one of God's chosen people? But dear friends, he's ordered it all. He has a right to live and reign over us. His work is perfect. You cannot add your name to the Lamb's Book of Life. You cannot take your name out of it. You may say, well, that's not fair, is it? You young children may be thinking, well, if I can't add my own name to the Book of Life, or if I cannot make myself be saved, what's the point? But dear friends, if that's how you feel this afternoon, don't forget that if you could save yourself, you could, as it were, unsave yourself. Because the nature and work of man is imperfect and changeable. But if God has chosen a people, if God has elected a people, that work can never be changed. That work has been ordered from eternity past. Who will be his? Who will call upon him in the day of trouble? Who will plead for mercy? Who will seek his face? Who will come with faith and repentance to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords? It's all ordered. It's all ordered. And praise the Lord it is. But if you feel like that this afternoon, pray to him that you may be one of his. Pray to him, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Seek his face, because that's what the Lord asks his people to do and longs for his people to do. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. But the Lord has ordained where and when you will ask, where and when you will seek, where and when you will knock. And you will knock. You will ask and you will seek. And you will receive. But some have to keep on knocking. Some have to press on for many, many years. But dear friends, keep at the door. Because if he has made you knock, he will open. Otherwise, you wouldn't be knocking. You wouldn't be longing. A dead man doesn't knock at a door. But when the Lord implants life within his people, that's when they knock. That's when they seek his face. That's when they find. The perfect work of God. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. The work of election. But the work of his calling his people. For he has a people he will call to himself. And I thought of that parable of the lost sheep. The Son of Man is come to save that which was lost. And it's a beautiful illustration, isn't it? Those 99 sheep that he left. And he went into the mountains and sought after that one that was gone astray. And he found it. And he brought it back. Do you feel to be like one of those sheep this afternoon? Do you feel to be having those little bleatings to him? He'll come and gather you in. He'll come and find you. Because his work is perfect. He cannot change his work. It is the will of it. Even so, it is not the will of your Father, which is in heaven, that one of these little ones should perish. No. If he has chosen you, he will call you. And you will call upon him. What does he say in Matthew 11:28? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But there will be no coming unless you first feel your need of that rest. His perfect work in his calling of his people. But that perfect work of atonement. that perfect work where Almighty God sent his only begotten Son into the world to atone or make right his people for him. What a work that is. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. The perfect sacrifice of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. The sins of his people were laid upon that dear man. It's a perfect work, infinite in its value. And applied to his people, are we made right this afternoon? Do we have any interest in that sin atoning sacrifice? Do we have any interest in the blood of Jesus Christ, which cleanseth us from all sin? That perfect, perfect sacrifice. The blood of bulls and of goats, we read, cannot take away sin, never could. But this man, his work was perfect. The price was paid. What we have in him, 143, isn't it? That such well-known hymn of Top Lady. Not the labour of my hands can fulfil thy law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. But he did. Through that perfect work, nothing can be put to it. Your works this afternoon can add nothing to that perfect work. Your tears this afternoon can add nothing to that perfect work. The only thing that can atone was the perfect work and life of Jesus Christ. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. But one final consideration on this perfect work of God before we look at this last clause, and it is this: his perfect love. His perfect love. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into that world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have eternal life. His love is perfect, and our love is so imperfect, isn't it? One more verse of another hymn. The love of Christ is rich and free, fixed on his own eternally, nor earth nor hell can it remove. Long as he lives, his own he'll love. His loving heart engaged to be their everlasting surety. 'Twas love that took their cause in hand, and love maintains it to the end. Love cannot from its post withdraw, nor death nor hell nor sin nor law can turn the surety's heart away. He'll love his own to endless day. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. Now, we have all been favoured with loved ones in some form or another, whether it be parents, whether it be husbands, whether it be wives, whether it be whatever it may be, we all have experienced, in measure, the love of someone to us. But the love that they have shown to us could be gone tomorrow through death. The love that we know to them, or they know to us, could sadly be broken by sin. We could fall out with them. But the love of Christ is fixed on his own eternally. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from here. But our last point this afternoon, the purpose of these works. God doeth it that men should fear before him. That men should fear before him. That's why. And how do you fear God this afternoon? There will be the fear at some point or another in the heart of an unbeliever. The unbeliever may say, I don't fear God, I don't fear anything. I'm just going to crack on in my life and make the most of everything I've got. And then on the day of your death, prove with Solomon, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. Because whatever men say, whatever the atheist may say, they say there is no God, there is nothing beyond death. Dear friends, it is in the heart of all men and all women that thought of something beyond the grave. We see it continually, don't we? Some well-known person in public life, a celebrity or a politician, will die, and you know you'll hear those, oh, they're in heaven now. They're with the angels now. And yet before they died, they couldn't care less. It's in the hearts of men. We have it in this 11th verse of Ecclesiastes. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their heart. Or that could be interpreted, he hath set eternity in their heart. It's the same word that's in our text, forever. It's in the hearts of all men to understand that there is something beyond the grave. And for the unbeliever, God doeth his works that men should fear before him. But what about the believer? The believer, when they look at God's works, and when they see God's work for what it is, they are overawed by their God. That beautiful Psalm 8, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Can see the psalmist there looking at the stars, overwhelmed by the power of God in creation. But what about the man that is called, has been given those eyes to see God in his holiness? That has been given those eyes to see that God is just and holy and we are but sinners. It will be like Isaiah in Isaiah 6, won't it? Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. And when we see the work of God in redemption, when we see the work of God in salvation, when we see it in election, when we see his love, his mercy, his care, his compassion, his wrath, his judgment, his justice, it is for this reason that men should fear before him. Approach him with awe. Approach him with reverence. Approach him with that humility so that we say, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. So that we say, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That we are given that submission to an almighty holy God, given peace and joy, therefore in this life, looking away from the world, looking away from our own wicked hearts, and being given those eyes of faith to look unto our God and his word. We live in a time of uncertainty. We live in a time of uncertainty in this nation. We live in a time of global uncertainty. But we live in a time which has always been and will always be, when God is in control. Because I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. It's all ordered. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it, that men should fear before him. But dear friends, when there is that true God-given fear in the heart of the believer, what do we read they do in Malachi, is it? They that feared the Lord, what did they do? Spake often one to another. Why? Because whenever we see the work of God in our hearts, whenever we see his hand in our events and circumstances, it brings a God-given fear and reverence. So we have to speak and confess and acknowledge that he ordered it. He worked, whether outwardly or inwardly. He chose, he called, he loved, he atoned, he had mercy, he chastened, he did it. I know. Do you know this afternoon? That whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Whatever you do, nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it. And God doeth it. But you don't say now, because of that, well, let's give up. What's the point of carrying on? Because whatever I do, I can't add anything to anything. If that's what you're thinking, God has ordered that thought too. But that won't bring him honour and glory. And if he's put that fear in your heart, your desire will be all your day to serve him, to honour and glorify his name. There's so much we can learn from this book. So much we could learn from these few verses. Much that is hard to understand. But may there have been a little understanding given to us this afternoon, so that we can say, and we can truly fear the Lord. Speak often one to another. Encourage one another on the way. God's done it, dear friends. God will do it. God is in control. Amen.
Tea will be served shortly after the close of the service on both sides of the chapel. The collections today are for the Savannah Education Trust for Christian schools in Ghana. Let us close with hymn number 698. 698. Pause, my soul, and ask the question, art thou ready to meet God? Am I made a real Christian, washed in the Redeemer's blood? Have I union to the church's living head? Hymn number 698.
Almighty Lord God, we bow before thee. And if there are any that do not know that thou art in control of everything, Lord, open their eyes to see it. And those that do know it, Lord, grant that submission to walk humbly and cheerfully before thy will, knowing that this life and all that it consists of is but empty compared to a vast eternity before us. So help us each to live with that eternal perspective in our lives, to look to God and away from man, and to therefore find enjoyment, peace and comfort in this world of sorrow. So do bless the food that we will shortly have. Give us thankful hearts for it. Those that hope to come again this evening too, Lord, we pray that thou wilt help both hearer and preacher alike. So at the end of today, we may have indeed truly given thanks for all thy many, many mercies. So forgive everything that we have spoken wrongly and done wrongly in our worship this afternoon. But that which has been of thee do own, bless and seal by thy Holy Spirit. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us each. Amen.